Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker and Tom Maloney. On today's show, we'll chat with Jay Weinberg, an artist and entrepreneur from Valparaiso who has worked for 2 years on an app called Artunity, which gets unveiled and launched today. If it existed in the 19th century, Vincent van Gogh may not have died penniless and hopeless. We'll also talk with South Shore Representative Mike Nolan about the Rail Lines Bikes on Trains program and how to best utilize it, like Karen and I did last summer. Plus, we'll chat with Ralphie May, the larger-than-life stand-up comic who's appeared in countless comedy shows, including Wayne Brady Show, Tonight Show, Four Comedy Central specials, you name it. And I'll address a disturbing question I asked myself earlier this week. When exactly did watching mankind's inhumanity to mankind become our society's dinnertime entertainment, night after night? All that and more on today's Casual Fridays, folks. Stay tuned right after these brief news headlines.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it's just Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come into our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
All right.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Well, it's not really Dan. It's Tom. Our
Tom
show
Maloney.
On the Lakeshore, supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency, and Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for matters most.
Yeah, what matters most is Tom Maloney. That's
yeah.
What matters most to us today. That's for
absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely. If you miss any part of today's show, no worries. It'll be re-aired at 7 o'clock tonight and posted online, like all of our shows, lakeshorepublicradio.org.
If Artunity existed in the 19th century, Vincent van Gogh may not have died penniless and hopeless.
Nope.
This notion isn't lost on Jay Weinberg of Valparaiso, who's living the myth of a starving artist, as he describes it.
Yeah, 2 years ago, the first outline of Artunity was penciled into Weinberg's mind by the hands of fate, no less. Today, it gets publicly unveiled and launched, giving artists, art lovers, and casual admirers of cutting-edge movements a new art opportunity called Artunity in the art world.
On today's show, we'll talk with Jay, who will explain to Lakeshore listeners how Artunity works and how you can take advantage of it.
Darn right. We'll also talk on the studio line with South Shore Representative Mike Nolan about the Rail Lines Bikes on Trains program and how to best utilize it.
Last summer, Jerry and I boarded a South Shore train to Chicago with our bicycles in tow. Though the Rail Lines through the Rail Lines Bikes on Trains program. It worked out better than we expected, and we recommend it to other Northwest Indiana bicyclists looking for a new adventure. Mike will give us and you all the details.
We had a good time, didn't we, with that?
We really did.
We'll
just
talk
a couple
about that.
Things you need to know.
Yeah, which
you know?
We will tell you. Plus, Are you familiar with Ralphie May? He's the larger-than-life stand-up comic who's appeared in countless comedy shows like The Wayne Brady Show, Tonight Show with Leno, four Comedy Central specials, two Netflix specials, and since I posted about him on social media a couple days ago, everybody seems to know Ralphie May.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Except for me.
He'll be calling in our studio line to talk about life on the road and his upcoming show at Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City on May 27th on Saturday.
Yep. I'll also give Lakeshore listeners a sneak peek in my weekend columns, and I'll address a disturbing question I asked myself earlier this week. And I'm also going to talk about in just a second about selective memories about in us.
Mm-hmm. All that and more in today's show. If you want to join the discussion or offer a counterview to ours or talk to Ralphie May, you can. Feel free to call in at 769-9577.
We also want to welcome into the studio with us my cousin Mike Davich is here.
He's Jerry's got family.
I got families from out of town, from Oakland. Mike, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being a part of the show and join in any conversation. We got, a jam-packed show, as we say.
Yes, we do.
Lots of callers, lots of issues. Feel free to jump in. Don't hesitate
will do,
at all.
Will do.
There's a microphone in your face for a reason.
Right here.
Right there, exactly. So I'm writing a column last night and this morning. It's going to run Sunday in the Post Tribune. And before we talk with Jay and Mike Nolan and Ralphie May, I'm going to pop this out there real fast for Lakeshore listeners. Karen, Mike, Tom, Lakeshore listeners, do you remember details about your childhood? Do you remember life in your 20s? How about your first romance? How about your grandparents' stories when you were a kid? How about your first job or your last day of college?
Yes.
Can you say you remember a lot of these things in your head?
Yes, I do.
The reason I ask is because after talking with hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people over the past 20 years for my job, I believe many of them have selective memories about their own past, and I think you do too, and I think I do too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So because of this very human trait, I think we create a sort of revisionist history about ourselves along the way. It's not like always done to intentionally deceive others or to fool ourselves, but I think our memories or recollections are not always 100% accurate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not about dementia or memory loss or Alzheimer's disease, which I've written about a lot. It's about like a human trait or a character flaw that afflicts all of us, I think, at least most of us, regardless of how good our memory is. So, for example, have you ever had a memory that you sincerely thought was crystal clear and rock solid until someone comes along and sort of corrects it? Possibly an old friend who shared a similar experience with you, or one of your children who remembers things better than you do? This has happened to me. And when I interview people, I wonder how much they really know about their own past. And my job is people are relaying things to me all the time, and I have to kind of take them for their word. I can't double check everything they say about their own history going back 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. But I think people distort their memories. And I wonder if you guys think you do, or would you admit to it? I mean, I do. And the reason I thought about this is my daughter Ashley sometimes catches me, not in a mean way, but she'll say, "Dad, it really didn't happen that way. It happened like
But with you, Jerry, you have a horrible memory.
I do. Generally speaking, I do. But I think a lot of us have, we think we have great memories, but our memories are distorted by our emotional whims or desires or what we wish that would have happened.
Yeah, that's a good point to make.
You know what I mean? Because you talk to people and their history gets kind of whitewashed a little bit. A little bit. Sometimes a little white, live whitewashing, mm-hmm. just to make things a little bit better than maybe they really,
really
were,
was.
Than the harshness of reality.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting topic, and that's why I'm writing about it. You'll read about more about this in my Sunday column, and I'll have a minute or two left to talk about it on today's show. But I wanted to put it out there, and if you have these kind of problems, when I write about this and I talk about it, people are going, "Nope, not me. All my memories are clearly intact, and everything that's happened to me is clearly, you know, that's exactly what happened." But I'm going, I'm challenging people to challenge yourself. Ask yourself certain memories. Ask people in your orbit. Ask your loved ones or your kids or other coworkers or a wife, or ex-wife, whatever, and go, "What really did happen? That, you know, did it really happen this way or not?" And if you find one thing that may not have happened correctly, it might be the domino for you to realize maybe not everything happened that I thought happened. Mike, you agree or disagree? Do you have any?
I agree. I mean, my memories of just life here, you know, because I moved out of here when I was young and I'm back visiting, but my memories are vague.
Yeah.
The few that I actually do have. So.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I think most of our memories are vague, but we don't want to admit that. And we like to fill up our mind fills those gaps instinctively. And I think because of that, we fill in the gaps even if they're filled with lies.
Everyone's killing
Tom, you agree
themselves.
Or not?
One thing I think...
maybe lies is the wrong word.
Yeah, only sweet little lies.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that when you have a lot of events in your life that are similar in nature with a lot of the same individuals, I think at the same time, all of those events kind of become one event. You know, you think back to, you know, for me, I think back to when I was younger in my partying days with all of my friends, right? And it's never the hundreds of parties that we went together, right? Mm-hmm. It's now one big party. It was the biggest party in the world, in the history of the world. And
like a collective composite of all these parties?
Exactly. And everything happened at one party.
Yeah.
And that was it.
How many parties you go to, Tom?
I went to quite a few in my day.
No, so apparently it was one party.
It was only one party, though. Yeah,
but it lasted for 4 years.
That's
a good insight, though. You're right. I think we do that for a lot of our history. We just blend things together. We may not mean to, and we're not doing it to deceive people or to lie to ourselves. We're not being delusional, so to speak. We're just compartmentalizing. And we put these memories into a container, a big blender, as Tom said.
And as time goes on, what's the difference between 1994 and 1995?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know,
well,
at the
for
time,
me, 74 or 75.
There you
for
go.
Me, so to speak. Yeah, when I was a teenager. Oh, am I dating my... Oh, Karen's wincing. I must be dating myself with that. Sorry. Yeah, 1994, 95. That's what
I there we go. That's the one.
I didn't exist in 74. I don't know what the hell
that was about. None of us did, actually.
History books.
Yeah.
So you want to read more about this, check out my Post Tribune column on Sunday. You'll see it also on my Chicago Tribune webpage and all my social media sites soon. But, you know, I want people to challenge themselves. You don't got to challenge others and, aha, I got you, Karen Walker. That's, you know, we'll blame Tom for it. You actually went to 74 parties, not just one big one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not about that. It's about questioning ourselves. Look in a mirror and kind of ask yourself these questions. That's
I'm always the oddball with my friends because I'm the one that always remembers
everything.
Intricate minute details.
Crazy, yeah.
Like, oh God, Carrie, it's such a great memory. I don't remember that. And I'm hoping somebody will help me out and fill in my gaps. Nobody does that, you know, because I'm the one that remembers all the dumb stuff.
My daughter's the same way. She has great memory. I do not, and I kind of like that. I'm very selective memory. You know, you ask me, and I really just don't know.
You really don't remember anything.
When Karen and I first got together, she'd ask. Of course, she'd ask about previous relationships or my life or childhood
You're
kids.
Like,
I go,
oh,
I really just
don't
know.
No,
I really think I have early onset dementia.
I think
of some
what
kind.
If you see,
but
like
you're here every Friday.
I do. I show up.
He makes
Karen
here
leads
somehow.
Me here. Yeah.
If you see a picture of something that happened in your past, and then it triggers.
It does.
Then it's like a faucet, and it just keeps.
I need
running,
triggers,
you know?
Just like an Alzheimer's patient. Yeah, I really do.
Memory care.
Like
yeah,
that.
Memory care. Exactly. So you could check this out and challenge yourself if you want. But we'll get off of that. We got a show. We got a lot of people calling in today. First and foremost, we're going to chat in just a second here with Jay Weinberger of Valparaiso. I met with him earlier this year. If you recall, Jay was the Valparaiso artist who. Painted a painting when the Cubs won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And he painted this painting and he gave it to his dad on Christmas, I believe.
Yeah.
And he surprised him and they video recorded it and his dad was weeping. And
yeah.
Oh my God, it was a beautiful gesture, a beautiful gift, and it's a beautiful painting, all memorializing the Cubs
mm-hmm.
and the father-son dynamic and all this. And it went viral. ESPN picked it up.
Yeah,
all the
yeah.
stations picked it up. Chicago media picked it up. And Jay, you know, started getting a few of his proverbial 15 minutes. He got at least three there. I think he has more than that. So,
yeah.
But there's something else I want to talk to him about. It's this new app he created. It's getting launched today called Artunity. It's the merging of art and opportunity called Artunity. And Jay has been kind enough to be on our show. Jay, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
You're very welcome. How are you doing? Today is your launch day.
Yeah, you must be very excited.
After 2 years of waiting, how are you feeling?
Well, you know, don't they say that it's good luck for it to rain on your wedding day?
Oh, do they say that?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. I don't know if they made that up for, like, brides, you know, who feel really bad because it's raining and they get hysterical or something. But
that's a nice rationalization for brides and for artists.
Yes.
Unleashing an app.
It's kind of a marriage for me, so, yeah.
But either way,
I'm going to take it as a sign of good luck.
Of course. So you're still jacked up about tonight. You're going to be unveiling this publicly at Fluid Coffee House in downtown Valpo, I believe. Correct?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, and like you said, 2 years. You know, the idea was born 2 years ago, just out of necessity for me. And I've just kind of my charge, my raison d'être. Now I have to take this idea and try and push it into the public because. I don't know, for too long, the myth of the starving artist has prevailed. And, you know, I'm not one of those that, like, just jumps into the cliches, you know, like, because I don't drink and I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, and I'm, like, an artist. So it's like I don't use those things for my muse or whatever it is. And it's like I think that you get that a lot with, like, music and artists where, like, we have to live in these things. And I don't think that an artist should have to struggle financially to be able to produce good art. And in fact, I think it's the contrary. I think the more that we're empowered as artists, the more we're going to be able to actually flex our creative muscles, I suppose.
And it's this kind of thinking that kind of led you, necessity is the mother of invention, of course, for you to invent mm-hmm. this Artunity app. Give Lakeshore listeners a little summary of what Artunity is.
Well, I guess I could start the best by talking about the way it came about for me. So I had a electric bill that I needed to pay, and it was $150. And I'm like, man, I need this fast. But, you know, I'd spent the last 8 years working on my music and hadn't done a lot with my visual art, so I didn't have, like, a big community of followers like some artists do. I wasn't using the internet for my art, really, and all that jazz. So I was like, I'm not sure if I can get a person to buy an illustration or a painting from me for $150, so it's like a 9x12. And I don't know if I can get one person to buy one right off the bat, but I'm like, I've used crowdfunding in the past for my music. I'm like, I bet I could get 15 people to donate $10 to me. And then once I reached my $150 goal, I would just randomly choose one person and then give that illustration to them as a gift for donating to me.
That seems very realistic, you know, doable.
It just happened like, boom, I had people chomping at the bit because you get, like, a good quality piece of art for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was like when I thought about that and I realized that, man, this is something that other artists could use, I started to materialize the platform and think of all kinds of other features. Because I was using, like, I was using Instagram, I was using Facebook, I was using PayPal, I was using, you know, I was meeting people in the parking lot of Kmart to get money like I did when I would sell tickets for the band. And I'm like, there has to be a more efficient way to do this. And that's when I came up with the notion for the platform. So.
And did you have the idea Artunity in your head already? How did that come about?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was name-storming, as I call it, as a musician. Like,
name-storming.
You know, I know when I'm forcing things and things are contrived. And so, like, after writing so many songs, I just know what that process feels like. And I was putting all these names. I probably had 300 different names. And I'm like, man, this is just so forced. It's not right. It's not right. And so then I'm like, well, what is this? And I wrote down the word opportunity. It's an opportunity for artists, and it's an opportunity for, you know, new collectors.
Right.
Old collectors, too, but collectors who don't necessarily have a lot of money, but now they can finally get democratized into the process of art. So I'm like, it's an opportunity. And I looked at the word for a minute, and I'm like, wait a second. If I switch that middle O to an A, it's opportunity. Art and unity, Artunity. And I'm like, wait, if I switch both O's to A's, it's app Artunity. And that's precisely what I'm building.
Eureka! So, you probably thought to yourself.
It was synchronicity on full tilt. I mean, and that's my life. I'm a wizard, you know?
You are a wizard, Jay.
It's a story of alchemy. And then the AU is actually, you know, the periodical table of elements symbol for gold. And it's just, it, to me, it's all it's all charged with such purpose because my whole thing is for it to be a win-win-win for everyone. Compassionate capitalism. I never want to skin an artist. We take nominal fees from the artist. It's all about building up everyone to be able to make more money. I mean, and to have a better lifestyle, you know.
Jay, I love guests like you because all I have to say is hello. And you just fill all the blanks in for me, you know. Some guests, I got to, like, pull teeth. When I do my personal interviews, I have to have a list of questions in my head to make sure I don't miss anything. But not with Jay Weinberg. Jay, right. You know, I've met with you now, and I talked about Artunity, and I love the concept. I liked it so much. I wrote a column. It's in today's Post-Tribune on page 2. And there's also an event taking place tonight. You can see it in person at the Fluid Coffee House, downtown Valpo. Is it 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock? You actually be publicly unveiling this app?
Yes, that's exactly right. And actually, I'll be letting people know exactly the way. Right now, they can check it out at theappartunity.com. And again, that's app and art and unity and or artunityapp.com. Those are both places where they can see a little bit. But those will eventually redirect the main live site once we get that live. We're still hammering out some bugs right now. But as soon as that's live, and people will know tonight here at the event, they'll be the first people to know. You know, we'll be here from 6 to 9, and I'll be walking artists through. I'll be walking collectors through. I have, you know, a little video that kind of explains how it works and how to set up your account and all that kind of stuff.
Will there be artwork in the works tonight at the event also?
Yes, actually. So Clinton Worthington, he's been one of my best friends for a while now, and he was painting live with me in the band for a number of years. And he's going to be painting live out here tonight, and we're actually going to put his piece up as one of the first opportunities available. I will have a piece on there as well. And then we're going to maybe just start seeing if we can get some artists on tonight so they can start hosting their work.
So I'm guessing from both sides of this opportunity, you have artists who may contact you and say, hey, I've got this piece of art. I want to sell for like $500, but nobody's going to buy it maybe for $500. So if I sell 20 shares, that might help my chances. Then you got art collectors or art lovers or just novices like me who just like a piece of art, and I really can't afford to pay $1,000 for a piece of art. So maybe Karen and I can go together, get a couple of these Artunity slots or options for $10 a pop, and maybe we'll get lucky. And if we're not lucky, well, it's like a raffle ticket. Big deal. We lost maybe $10. We didn't get it out, but we're part of the game anyway.
Right.
Is that the win-win? Is that the beauty of it?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, the main thing is, like, you know, a lot of it leans on the notion of just the good nature of what people want to do. I mean, GoFundMe is a great example of that, where people are donating to good causes, but at the same time, you know, one of the aspects of the application itself from the collector's side is that if you do donate to an artist, it actually changes the way things look for you on your end. So, like, it will hang in your gallery with a different color frame that shows that you supported it, you know, to a higher level. And the other thing is, like, when I start rolling out, you know, features in the second version and the third version and stuff that we have planned out as this starts to build momentum. They're going to be different things. Like I'm actually looking at trying to get a way to where we can have kind of a point system. So as you continue to donate to artists, you're actually accumulating points that you can use or that you'll be rewarded for.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Well, isn't there also a chance that if you, like, just say you wanted to bid on the original artwork, but you're outbid or whatever, don't you get a print of that artwork?
Well, that's another feature for the second version. It's not something that we have right here in the beta, mm-hmm. but those are all things that are absolutely in the works or on the horizon. I have a couple of printers that I'm talking to right now that we can make the process seamless for the artist to where they can just upload the artwork and have it all in one spot. Because that is one of the failings like of Instagram. Instagram's a great platform. I love Instagram. I use Instagram a lot myself.
Me too.
But there's no point of purchase, and there's no way for you to actually monetize unless you click outside of the system. And to be honest, people just don't have time for that, and they don't do it. You know, a click or two away and only having a link up in your, you know, profile on Instagram just isn't arming artists the way that they need to be armed. I mean, one example, I think I said this to you, Jerry, of how an artist who has, like, I can find an artist on Instagram that has 20,000 followers in under 2 minutes. Okay, if I click on their Big Cartel link or their Etsy shop, right on the top of that Instagram bar, I go on there, I see them selling an illustration for like $200. I mean, I found a guy just a couple days ago had 92,000 followers selling an original watercolor illustration for $120. It's like, dude, if you use this platform, you're going to be able to bump that up to more like 2,000 and get your followers, your 92,000 eyeballs, and the people who love what you do, they're going to be able to throw down and really help you, you know, make a lot more money.
And they probably don't know that until they meet Jay Weinberg and learn about Artunity. Jay, one last question for you. Why wasn't Artunity created already? I mean, it's 2017. There's been struggling artists since Van Gogh. There's always been problems for people who create art to try to sell it and exhibit it and make a buck off of it. And I always feel bad for them. I've interviewed dozens of them through the years. Where has Artunity been? I mean, why hasn't somebody done this already, so to speak?
You know, one answer to that, I guess, is like if we go back to my Cubs piece, like that thing is a gift I did for my dad.
Right.
Right. And it was just, it was something I was just giving. I had no intention of, like, since then I've sold hundreds of prints of that piece, and it's helped me overcome that myth of the starving artist. But I wasn't that lucky, you know, up until that point. And it's weird how it coincides with the Cubs, because the Cubs are lovable losers, you know?
Right.
And artists are lovable losers.
Yes, they are.
Like,
you're right.
Year after year, we say, oh, this is going to be my year. I'm going to make it big. I'm going to do it. I'm going to break through. And when people say make it big, I mean, I think most artists, they just want to be able to put food on the table.
Yeah.
Maybe
and buy my
family.
Art supplies.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so, I guess in some ways it's just, it's that necessity and the way that things collide. I think, you know, it's like lightning in a bottle. I don't know that we can predict it, and I don't know that we can say how it happens. Partially, it's, I think, just because I'm an open receptacle, and that's why I know it's, like I said, it's my raison d'etre. It's something that I have to do because it did come through me, and that's part of, like, when I'm, as an artist, especially, like, with my music, like I said, when it would feel contrived when I would try and force it. And I didn't force Artunity. It was just a solution that presented itself.
I see.
Because I was open, because I'm grateful to, you know, whatever that energy is that rolls around in the universe, and it just landed on me. I'm just got lucky, but now I'm hoping to, you know, spread that luck across, you know, the rest of the globe. Honestly, it's starting small here in the Midwest, but I have anticipation that this is going to be something that can change artists' lives for good.
I hope it does, especially local artists. So many of them that I know, and I know they're kind of hurting in a way and struggling and trying to get their stuff out. So. One last time, tell our listeners how they can find your stuff, your site.
Artunityapp.com. So okay. Artunity and app, APP.com.
All right.
Once that'll actually redirect to the live site. I'm just not giving that out until we get fully functional, which is in the next few hours. But
gotcha.
From 6 to 9 tonight, and then, you know, you'll find it all out here at Fluid.
Well, just so you know, Jerry and Karen here on Casual Fridays are in the ground level of our TV. So don't forget us after 6 o'clock tonight when you're flying off to Paris and LA and Silicon Valley and New York City. Yeah.
I'll be back. I'll be back. It's all about being grounded.
All right. Fair enough.
And being grateful, which I am eternally grateful to you guys.
Thanks a lot, Jay. We appreciate being part of your
world. Good luck tonight, Jay.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Listen to Casual Fridays. Jerry, Karen, Tom Maloney, and my cousin Mike Davich is in the studio also, visiting from Oakland for a little bit. I'll tell you, let's take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk on the studio line with someone else, South Shore Representative Mike Nolan, about the Rail Line's Bikes on Trains program and how to best utilize it. Stay tuned, folks. Be right back.
Welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
Yep, don't forget, you could catch our show also 7 o'clock tonight here on Lakeshore, and you could visit us online and hear our shows anytime, middle of the night, if you can't sleep, 3 in the morning.
We'll put you to sleep.
We'll put you to sleep. Here with Casual Fridays at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Last summer, Karen and I heard about this new program at the South Shore Rail Line, Bikes on Trains, we believe it's called, and we love to bike around our area, but we kind of get bored of the same bike trails and the same routes and paths. So we thought, what if we take our bicycles, on the South Shore train? We don't know how it works. Hook it up. It'll transport us to Chicago, dump us off there. We'll bike around the city for a few hours, and then we'll come back same way. So we did that. We had a great time.
We really did.
And we liked it so much that there's a representative from South Shore we're going to talk to in just a second here, Mike Nolan, about this Bikes on Trains program. The best part, we thought, is there was no cars, no driving, no hassles. We just have to get to the radio, station. Thank you very much. And we'll talk about that in a second. Get the bikes on there. There's little compartments for the bikes. Mm-hmm. They strap right on. It's easy. You just sit there and you get transported in. So let's get more information on this program. Mike, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Did the program officially start last summer, Mike?
Yeah, we kicked it off actually last April 1st. And ran it through the late fall, end of October. I think actually November 1st it ended, and it was our first. We put our toe in the water, and we allowed bikes on trains on designated weekend trains, and where we have our high level platforms. We'd love to be able to expand it, but it's really not from a safety standpoint. We can't do it where you got to climb from the street level and go up the stairs.
Sure.
So wherever we have the high-level platforms where you can roll your bike right on the trains, we've got designated trains on Saturdays and Sundays, and so we kicked it off last summer. So this is year two.
So we did the designated high platform at Chesterton Station.
Yes.
Is that Dunes Park Station?
Yeah,
Dunes Park?
Yeah, Dunes Park.
And we got there not knowing really what we're doing. I mean, as Karen and I mostly do in a lot of our things in life, especially bike riding.
The blind leading the blind.
Yeah, we brought our bikes, we wheeled them up there, and then we thought we were late for the train, so Karen started riding her bike on the platform. So that was our first note, do not ride your bike on the platform. Supposed to walk your bikes.
That's a good safety note.
So we did that, but we got on, and we thought it was going to be jam-packed. I'm always afraid we're not going to have any seats available.
Yeah.
We won't have a slot for our bike, but it was fine. We had plenty of room. I think we were the first two bicyclists.
There was you and me and one other cyclist.
Yes, it was great. We put the bikes in. It latches in really quick.
Yeah, it really does.
Aren't those racks great?
They are.
And then I thought the bike's going to fall or hit
a
bump.
They didn't.
They did not. So that was nice. Then we just sat there and cruised into the city.
Just fine.
And they dumped us off. I think the campus one of the campus stops.
I think so, yeah.
And
you can get off at you can get off at 57th Street, or you can go in and get off at Museum Campus, Van Buren, or go all the way into Millennium Station if you want.
We went to Van Buren.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure why. I don't know why.
I
think
either.
I saw something I knew. I'm like a squirrel. I saw something shiny, and I go, hey, I know where we're at now, so let's just get off this train.
But wasn't it at Van Buren that it was just a little tricky because we had to carry our bikes up a couple of stairs when we got off the train?
Yeah, there's an elevator there that mm-hmm. you can use. Mm-hmm. But frankly, my experiences with bike riders is they tend to be pretty industrial. So they take their bikes and carry them up the stairs.
Yeah, it was
elevator schmelevator.
Yeah,
that was my motto.
It was just easier to carry the bike, so it was fine. But that's just something to kind of, if you're people getting off at Van Buren, there's an elevator or there's stairs.
But you know, when we talk about bicycling, and we do it a lot, and I've talked about it on our show for years now, it always scares people off. Well, I'm not a bicyclist. I don't wear spandex. I don't have a helmet. Neither do I. I have none of the above. I don't wear a helmet. I don't wear spandex. I'm not very serious about it. So any schlub listening to this show can do this.
Yes.
We're schlubs, and we did it quite easily. And you can do it, too. So don't ever think you're going to be part of this pack of spandex-wearing pretty boys.
And it's a great opportunity to bike around the city, because if you do get off at Museum Campus, then it's a very quick jaunt to the bike trail. And if you just stay strictly on the bike trail, you're as safe as kittens.
Yeah.
You know?
Now we ventured into the city because I like being suicidal with Karen.
He just does that to me.
And so we went to Gino's East Pizza. We ate at a park bench. Mm-hmm. We went back to the bike trail. So it was a beautiful day, Mike. And that's why I want to put it out there for our Lakeshore listeners that they should try this. Did you have enough people to justify doing it again and again for this year and future years? I hope.
You know what? This is year two. We actually expanded the program this year, so we're now allowing bikes during the weekday on two specific trains at the front of the rush hour in the morning, at the front of the return rush hour at night. So train 6 and 106 in the morning and train 11 and 111 at night. You can also do it Monday through Friday. So we're expanding it. It's going to grow. You know, I watched the Bikes on Train program and Metra grow over the years to where it's extremely popular now. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, it's word of mouth. You'll tell your friends, you're doing it now, but you'll tell your friends in casual conversation and it'll just grow. So it's I think this is part of the fabric of what we're doing for here on in the future.
That's good to hear. Can I ask you something, Mike, on a totally slightly unrelated issue? Is it your voice that we hear saying, like, the town that we're in or the state that we're in?
No, it's Boris Matakovic. He's our IT
really?
Guy.
Does it sound like him?
It sounds just like Ishikaga, watch step.
No, I think Mike is much more colorful than that voice. Mike, it sounds like we're talking at a bar with you. It sounds like we're talking over drinks right now. I like your personality. We don't even know who the heck you are, but but those things like, hey, Chicago, you know, get off.
Watch your step.
It's like they scare the hell out of me,
know? As soon as you started talking, like, wait a minute, I've heard your voice before.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I want to say is we really think there's an opportunity to get the traffic from Chicago and get it out here in Northwest Indiana. And we've actually seen a lot of that lately, where people are coming from the city and then they're coming out to the great things we have to offer here in the region, and whether they're going to do a pub crawl or they're going to go to the park, or they're going to take some of the trails that we have out here. So, you know, this is a two-way street for us. We're taking our folks from the region into Chicago and utilizing the trails there and along the lakefront, or ride to Wrigley Field if you want. But we're also seeing the reverse, you know, as true as we're bringing people from Chicago out to the region.
Yeah, and we're keeping those FIPs out of the traffic lanes.
Friendly,
and
friendly
they could be
Illinois
on the train
people,
instead.
Friendly Illinois people. That's a good spin, Mike.
Boy, you're really good at your job, Mike. Yeah, you are the good spokesperson for South Shore. So how can our listeners tap into this program if they want more information or if they want to give it a try?
Oh, like the schedule or when these cars are open.
Yeah, you know, the simple thing is go in Google South Shore Line. Our webpage will come up. It's www.mysouthshoreline.com if you want to type it in the URL. But just Google South Shore Line. And then under tickets, you'll see our schedules, our train schedules, and you'll see the designated routes that have bicycles on top of them. And it'll tell you, it'll shade the station stops where we allow you to get on. As an example, unfortunately right now you can't get on in Michigan City because it's a low-level platform. Now, you know, quick commercial, we're trying to do double-track this railroad, and when we double-track the South Shore, not only will we offer more and quicker service, but we're also going to put in high-level platforms at a number of spots like Miller, Ogden Dunes, Michigan City, that will also make those places locations where you can ride your bike to,
because
there'll be high-level platforms. So we're going to expand the bike opportunities as a result of the double-trekking program as well.
Wow. I like it.
So, and it's not an additional charge on the ticket, correct?
Nope, not an extra charge. We're just charging for the passenger.
Sounds good. Bikes come on for free.
Bring your bikes for free. Absolutely.
Mike, we are on board, proverbially and literally, and we'll do it again this summer. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, when you do it, feel free to post on our Facebook page. We like to hear stories of where people went and how easy it was and what they experienced. So, and if you ever want to invite me back, I'd love to talk more about the program.
Sounds good, Mike.
Yeah,
we appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for being a part of Casual Fridays. Take care.
All right. Thanks. Have a great weekend, guys.
And didn't even sound like he was in the radio of a train car? Didn't it sound like it?
I guess it did, echoing around a little
bit. Like he was on the train car.
It's all theater of the mind. Theater of the mind here on Casual Fridays.
I guess. But I swear, he's one of the announcers.
You got to try the program. Don't be scared, folks, really.
No, it's fun. And if, like we said last week's show, if you have a bell on your bike, you get some drunk jerk that just got out of Cubs game, don't let him touch your bell.
That was the only negative experience we had.
Stand firm. Don't let him touch your bell.
But that was just South Shore Riders. I tell you, listen to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom. We also have my cousin Mike Davich in the studio, too. Let's take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk with Ralphie May.
I hope so.
Yeah, the larger-than-life stand-up comic is going to be calling in. You probably know more about him than I do. So stay tuned, folks. Right back in a few minutes. Now
okay.
You're good. Welcome
back to
now.
Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom.
Sorry.
Man. Come on. I was even turning on my mic. Our show and the lecture are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for matters most.
Yeah, if you miss any part of today's show, no worries. It's re-aired. What time?
7 o'clock,
Karen.
Wait, turn my mic off.
And you can find it on lakeshorepublicradio.org at any time. All of
anytime.
Our previous shows. Who knows Ralphie May? The largest. Mike knows him, Tom, Karen, we all know Ralphie May. We even listened to clips of his on the way into the studio today.
Well, don't give it away.
I wanted
like
to hear more stuff. I wanted to hear more, though, you know. So he's coming to our area next weekend, and he was kind enough to call into our show, talk about that show and Life on the Road. Ralphie, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Where are you calling from?
Las Vegas.
Is that where you live?
I've just got a residency here.
Holy
at
cow.
Harrah's.
No kidding.
And so, no, it's a big deal.
That is a huge deal.
Yeah, and so I don't know if I live here yet.
But you're there.
But I'm here.
That's all that counts.
Good enough, Ralphie. We like that. When did you get this deal secured, by the way?
It started in January.
Sorry, did we wake you?
It's like a...
Hey, it's 10:45 there. It's 10:45 Vegas time, so give him a break.
Yeah.
And it's Vegas.
But it was a long night last night.
Of course.
It was a long night.
Did you work last night, Ralphie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as a stripper. I mean, did you actually have a comedic show?
Yes.
Yeah, you did. Okay. I wasn't.
That too.
Yeah, that too, of course. You mix them both together. So, Ralphie, you're in Vegas now. You're coming to Northwest Indiana, the Chicago area, next weekend. Have you ever been to our area at all in your life?
I've been to Gary.
What?
Yeah. What?
Why were you in Gary?
I I don't know.
Wrong
it's,
turn.
It's got big trouble. And that
I don't know.
P, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. I don't know, man.
Well, that's what a lot of people say when they wind up in Gary. Well, like, I don't know how I got here.
I was born and raised in Gary, so I could make jokes about it, and I didn't mind, but I just didn't know why you'd be there. I thought maybe you got a good deal on something. Kind of, the price was right, or I don't know what that would be. But either way, so you've been to our area.
I actually got lost, and we took the wrong freeway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That explains
Where were you?
In Gary, Indiana.
Well, where were you supposed to go?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. It's early. It's
early.
Ralphie.
I'm so sorry.
It's Northwest Indiana. He doesn't have the answer.
No, no. You have to understand. It's like I've been doing stand-up comedy for 27 years.
27 years? I didn't know it was that long.
Kind of stack on top of each
sure
other.
Sure they do. Sure.
27. You know, well, okay. I guess my initial question I want to ask you is just life on the road kind of thing. You've been doing it. I know you've been doing it more than 20 years. Is there a burnout factor? Are you still happy with it? I know you're making a buck, but do you still enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would continue to do it if I didn't like it, you know, if I didn't love it.
And what else would you do if you didn't have
hard
it?
Thing.
What else would you be doing if you didn't have the comedy stand-up routines?
Man, I don't know. That's
a
good question.
He'd be a stripper, yeah, of course.
I would. I'd shake it.
I'd shake it. That's all you got to do, Ralph, is just shake it. Shake it and don't break it.
Shake it, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, right?
So
I don't know what I would do. I mean, all the good radio gigs are taken. I mean, I heard about this one in Michigan City, Indiana, and then screw it over.
Yeah, if you can't get casual Fridays,
we got the last two slots open Fridays
that way.
Cream of the crop there. You know, I read a interview about Chris Rock in Rolling Stone magazine recently, and he's talking about stand-up, and he doesn't use a lot of new, I mean, he uses mostly new material at all of his stops, about his life and his divorce and real serious issues, as opposed to a lot of other stand-up comics who kind of use a staple of stuff that seems to work, even over the course of years. So how do you play this? Do you use some stuff that's been working and you know it'll work for a certain audience? Do you roll the dice and try something new at every show or not?
I do a combination of those two. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's advisable to go up and do a brand new hour and a half of material.
Sure.
I don't think that's a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Your audience pays to be entertained, and it can't possibly be as good as stuff you've thought of before. But also, you know, there's comedians out there that do jokes from 1992,
and they shouldn't be
in comedy.
Oh, well.
You know, in our area, we had, you know, Uncle Larry, the stand-up comedian, Uncle Larry?
Yeah.
He came to our area and did this little dive bar in a small little town here in Northwest Indiana, and he was great. But I asked him the same question I'm going to ask you is, how does it feel to come to a smaller kind of venue and still play out? Because I loved his humor, his jokes, and he was still kind of hungry. He didn't like take it for granted. He's doing this little small kind of dive bar with maybe just 100 people, maybe,
yeah,
I'm guessing, Karen.
Yeah, at the most. Yeah.
But he was still really funny and really honest. We had Billy Gardell on our show a couple of years ago from Mike and Molly.
Right.
And he does a lot of stand-up. And he was going to the same place you're going to perform at, the Blue Chip. And he said the same thing. He really enjoys still the interaction, face-to-face connections, different regions, different people. You still get that interaction, that high from that?
Oh, yeah, man. That's the best. You know, you get to experience part of their life. You know, you get to go to where they live and experience just a snapshot of how they live and what's going on. It gives you a greater appreciation for America. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, some people go, "You celebrity Hollywood types," and I'm like, I'm not. Okay. I'm not, they hate me there too. Okay. I sit on my bus and I go all over America.
Wow.
And I see people every day that are, you know, in all sorts of states, and you get to, you know, you get to a greater appreciation for the real struggle people are in.
Sure.
If you're just tuning in now, well, first off, shame on you. But you've tuned in a good time. We're talking with Ralph Aimé, the stand-up comic. We've been 27 years. I had no idea.
He's a resident at Harrah's in Vegas.
And a resident at Harrah's in Vegas. He's going to be coming to the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City next Saturday, May 27th, 8 p.m. at the Stardust Event Center. If you want to get some tickets, you're welcome to do that. Ralphie, the question I had for you is, when you're touring all over the country, do you play differently to different audiences? We heard one of your clips talking to the South, and you made some good redneck jokes. Do you get the redneck jokes that work both North and South or East and West?
You know, I don't really change it per region. You know, I have regional jokes, like the roads in New Jersey are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as bad probably as Chicago. Oh my God, that's horrific.
We wind up in Gary.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, bad things happen. Almost. Actually, nothing bad happened. It was a nice trip.
Oh, good.
I went through it really fast. Gary was amazing.
That's what you usually do when you're in Gary. Go through it really fast.
Hey, come on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's my
right.
hometown. I'm sorry.
Bruce Springsteen sang about my hometown.
Right? So did Ron Howard.
Like, wait a minute. Right. No, he didn't.
Stopped you there, didn't I? So,
yeah,
Ralphie.
Ron Howard did.
Yes,
that's
he
right.
did.
That's right.
Yes.
Good catch, Ralphie.
Thank
good catch.
You. You're
yeah.
right.
Come on now.
Hey,
can I
take you back a little bit in your Wayback Machine? How'd you get involved
sure.
at all in stand up comedy? I mean, was it hard to go on stage for the first time, and how did that play out?
Well, first time I knew I wanted to do stand up, I was nine. And
nine. Wow.
First time I did it, I was 13 at a United Methodist Church youth rally thing, and it was like a convention, and they had a talent show on the last night, and I did stand-up comedy and won. Mm-hmm. And got to third base with a 14-year-old girl from Prattville, Alabama, and I was hooked.
And you knew you're going to be in comedy for the rest of your life. I don't care
exactly.
if you get back to home plate or not. Third base is good enough when you're 14.
Third base is amazing. Oh, my God. Seriously? Third base?
So you knew from right there that I'm going to be a stand-up comedian.
Exactly.
Do you remember what you talked about at that church? I'm just curious. Was it like nice, saccharine, innocent kind of jokes, or did you roll the dice?
Yeah, but it was like always on the edge. You
I
know,
see.
Like, let's talk about the F word. And then a hush came over the place, and I'm talking about fat.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, right. And then it's like, you know, that was one of the dumb jokes, and I killed it. I had a good time.
I love that.
But it's been forever ago.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wanted to bring you back. I'm just curious how you got started at all. You know, you mentioned the F word. Is that part of your routine at all, or is that just something you don't touch on too often? Or do you always touch on it?
Oh, man, I'm a dirty, filthy animal.
Now, I'm not asking if you're touching yourself. I'm asking if you're touching on that
no,
issue is what I meant.
No, I'm a dirty, filthy animal, and I like being a sexual being, and I like talking about it. I think the comics that don't talk about it are the real creeps.
What are you hiding, mister?
Clean, yeah, that are so spotless. I think those are the ones that have, you know, like clown suits that they dress up in.
Right, on their off hours. Well, there's good news for you, Ralphie, because I just read that Amy Schumer broke up with her boyfriend, so she's available for you, too.
Well, Amy's a sweetheart friend of mine, and we said a long time ago we're not going to date comedians ever again.
But aren't you married?
I was.
Oh, you were? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
To a comedian.
Well, that's what happens.
Nothing funny there, is
no.
there, Ralphie? Hey, do you bring your personal life into your show, like Chris Rock is doing? A lot of other comedians bring their personal life. I mean, even if it's semi-serious, do you bring it in or do you leave it out?
You know, I've been leaving it out because, honestly, it's kind of depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to bum people out. And I also don't want to be up there whining and God forbid me trying to do a joke turns into me saying something disparaging about the mother of my children, and it's just a bad scene.
Well,
so,
kudos to you, Ralph, for not going that way, because a lot of people think that pain is the best comedy.
I love my babies, and I wouldn't want them to hear me say something bad about their mama.
Do you ever make jokes about your kids?
She's a great mama.
Do you make jokes about your kids on stage?
I used to.
How old are your kids
now? When I would see them. 7 and 9.
Oh, that's a great funny age.
they're
make fun of them all the time.
They're hilarious. Mm-hmm. My son is so funny.
I bet.
He only talks dirty in the men's room. Okay, that's the only place he talks dirty. So he's like, "Daddy, I think we need to go talk in the men's room." And I'm like, "Okay, let's go."
You know what that
means.
And
he just lets me have it. He's like, "What the hell is going on? Let's go. Come on. All right." I'm like, "Okay, let's get fired up. I'm with you."
Well, there's men's rooms everywhere, so good for you and your son, that's for sure. Your own private office all across the country. So, Ralphie.
I know, that's what's funny, though.
Ralphie,
like,
you are coming.
We need to go to the men's room.
You are coming to the Blue Chip next Saturday evening, 8 o'clock. Tell our listeners, we've got a couple minutes left in the segment. Tell our listeners, what can they expect if they go to your show?
Oh, man, it's a crazy funny show. I talk about everything from getting rid of the Mexicans to Muslims to gay people. I mean, it's a fun show.
Oh, Hoosiers are going to love that.
Oh, they will.
And a good thing President's out of the country.
Well, you know, it's like, I mean, I think everybody in Indiana takes themselves a little too serious, you know?
You're right.
I mean, you got that Mike Pence, okay, that guy.
Right.
I wonder how big the stick is that's up there.
Yeah. We wonder the same thing.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, they're all crazy, you know? They're all in collusion with Russia, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I hate Russians. I always have. Well, since 1984 when they killed Swayze in Red Dawn.
Okay? It's been personal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on, man.
They got Soda Pop Pony Boy. They put Baby in the corner.
Oh, my God.
They also killed Apollo Creed. Okay? Oh. Don't forget.
Don't forget, yes.
Ralphie, do you talk politics on stage?
Not very much, because it's such a dividing issue right now.
That it is.
I mean, it's like, I talk about big political things as far as instead of individual issues or like which party, you know, this or that, you know, because
Republicans
honestly,
are your fans too, right?
Yeah. And I just, you know, what's funny is that I think this year has been just a real touchy year for everybody. It's something that I don't want to cause. And honestly, it's been kind of cheating, you know? I mean, it's like any joke you come up with, Trump would just say something that's even more outlandish.
Yeah, you can't Trump.
Well,
that is for sure.
I know. When I heard him admit to grabbing women by the okay, all right, and I was like, what?
Yep. Ralphie May can't beat that one on stage.
No. And then 2 weeks later, 63 million Americans go, I can overlook that.
No kidding.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah. Hey, Ralphie, can I ask you a favor, Ralphie?
Sure.
We have like about 1 minute left on our show. Can you give us a nice station ID saying yourself and you're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry and Karen? Would you mind doing that for us so we could play it in future shows?
Sure.
All right. You're on. Go right ahead.
All right. Hey, guys. You are listening to Casual Fridays with
Jerry.
Oh, my God.
Jerry and Karen.
Jerry and Karen. Okay.
And who are you?
They're going to spice. I'm Ralphie Mack.
Okay.
And I'm playing the Blue Chip. Okay. And right now, you're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry and Karen.
Perfect.
Right.
All right, Ralphie. Okay, we got to let you go. We sure appreciate it, though. We'll see you next Saturday at the Blue Chip. All right, Ralphie?
Thanks, guys. I love you. You can't do nothing about it.
Thanks, Ralphie.
All right, you've been listening to Casual Fridays. We're at the end of the show, though, folks. Thanks to Ralphie. Thanks to Jay. Thanks to Mike Dolan. Ride those bikes. See Artunity. Go to his show. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Mike, thanks for being in the studio.
Yes.
Have a wonderful weekend. And
Casual Fridays.
Have a Casual Friday, folks. Take care.
Oh, the pompousness of love. People talking about me, baby.